And everybody said, amen. Yeah, amen, amen. Thank you, worship team. Woo! I am back. I wish sometime I could just, you know, rent enough buses to take all y'all with us, the student camp, and just let you experience just a week of camp with them and just learning under the preaching of God's Word and the teaching of God's Word and just the worship that goes on there. We just had a great time. Again, as Danny said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'll say this even more in the message, but thank you for being a church that loves students and children, a church that loves them so much that you are so generous with your giving and allow us to do the things that we do here at The Rock through our children's and student ministries. Well, we have been in a series for the last couple of weeks that I've called Honor Culture. And we've talked about how we get it. We understand that we live in a generation where it's cool to kind of criticize others, right? Whoever they are, it's kind of cool. We text, we post, we blog, right? And we just speak against each other. We say things that we shouldn't say, right? And through this whole series, I've kind of shared with all of us that I really believe, from the depths of my heart, that there are some things. There are some relationships, there are things in our lives that are due some honor, that are due some honor. And our theme verse throughout the series is Romans 12:10 that says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves. And I've shared with you each week, we need to be creative in the way that we outdo each other with honor. We just begin to find ways that we outdo one another in honor. And so the first week we said, you know, where is that honor? You know, if we're going to build this honor culture, if we're going to begin to have this honor revival amongst the church, you know, where is the, you know, what does it mean to honor? And we looked at the definition of honor, and it means to value, to respect, to highly esteem. It means to treat as precious. My favorite definition is the word weighty. It's you know, we give weight to it or value to it. We ascribe worth to whatever we honor, we esteem, and we value. But sadly, in our culture today, many of us live without honor. And without honor means to dishonor. And to dishonor means to treat as common and as ordinary. And if honor means to give weight to something, well, dishonor means to take something lightly, to remove the weight from it. And we talked about how honoring esteems and lifts up, and dishonoring devalues and tears down. To honor someone is to believe the best about them, and to dishonor them is to believe the worst. Honor lifts and dishonor tears down. And I've shared with you that I really think in our generation, in our day and age, in our culture, that we take some things lightly. We treat some things as common or ordinary that shouldn't be common or ordinary. We talked last week about, okay, who does the Bible teach us that we need to honor? And we kind of got really general to begin with, and we said the Bible says we need to honor everybody. He calls us to honor everyone. And then we begin to get more specific. We're talking about honoring those who are in authority over us, our government and, you know, our family, those at our workplace or on our schools, that are on our campuses, those that have spiritual authority over us. We honor those who are in authority over us. And then we say we honor our parents, right? That we honor them, and as we honor them, that there is a blessing that's attached to that. And we begin to see in God's Word how, as we become a people of honor, that God is pleased with that, and He begins to bring blessing into our lives, into our relationships. We talked about honoring age, those that are older than us, the elderly, to honor them, and just treat them with honor and seek wisdom from them that God has given them. And I just am so thankful for those in my life that fit that role, that will come by and just pray for me and pray over me and just share wisdom into me. We honor the age, and of course we honor God. And if we really begin to understand that and we really begin to live a life that honors Him, well, then out of our lives will pour honor for others in those other areas of our lives. We'll be a people of honor. And so I've said every week that God is calling us, I think, back to this revival, this culture of honor. He's calling us, His people, to begin to honor one another. So this morning I want to talk about how do we do that? You know, how do we do that? Monty, these are the things and the people and the relationships that we need to honor. But how do we really do that? And so I'm just going to give you three things today that whatever you honor, and then I'm going to give you three things. The first thing, whatever you honor, we always will prioritize that, right? We'll put that first in our lives. I don't know if you've ever been in the line. I've told you about Kim last week, how she was standing in the checkout line at Walmart, and she, you know, the Holy Spirit whispered into her ear and said, "Hey, let this guy go first," and the result of that. But, you know, I think we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit putting people first. You know, the things that we give priority to means we honor them. When we take students on trips and we stop at Chick-fil-A, we call ahead to try to honor them, to let them know we're fixing to kill them with about, you know, 50 or 60 students and adults all at one time. And we get there and we get in the line, and they got us all lined up right through all the lines. And in order to show honor to others, when other people come in and they go, "Oh my goodness," we allow them to go in front of us. We said, no, you go ahead, you know, and they kind of step in front and get there. Oh, thank you. We honor them. And so this week, as we were at a Chick-fil-A, we're, you know, as adults, we're at the end of the line, and, you know, and I'm letting people go, and it's, you know, and in the flesh is trying to go, okay, I think that's enough. I think that's, you know, we're not going to ever get out of here, you know, and I got some adults that are helping me with that, coming, "I think we're okay, let's quit letting people," you know, and so we get all the way to the end of the line. I didn't know you were here. I wasn't going to tell this story, but you are, so here we go. I'm not saying any names, but we get to the end of the line, and, you know, and I'm trying to be honorable and have honor, give honor, so I let one of our adults go before me. You go first. And we get to the lady, the little girl that's taking our order with the iPad, you know, and so that when we get up there, they already have it, you know. We've been in line for like 30 minutes, right? Just sitting, standing there. And we get up there, and she goes, "Hey, yes, what would you have?" Talking to this adult leader that will remain nameless. And she goes, "Well, let me see. What do I want?" You know? And I'm going, "Oh, my goodness. Get behind me, Satan," right? We've been standing here. Well, first of all, it's Chick-fil-A. All they got is chicken. Come on. And we've been standing there forever. Woo. I mean, this was before the trip began. She didn't have an excuse. He didn't, or she, or whoever. So anyway, put people first. Put people first. Whatever is first is honored. Whatever is first is honored. And one of the ways we honor God, in His Word, He says we honor Him with our possessions, Proverbs 3:9 says this, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops." And so listen, this isn't a tithing message, but listen, God doesn't need your stuff. He doesn't need my stuff, right? He needs to know, though, where you put Him in your heart. Where is He in your heart? And so giving and tithing is one of those ways that we can check to see where God is. And I've shared this with you before. I was asked to give my tithing testimony when I was 26 years old, and I was like, "Come on, I don't even have enough money to tithe." "What do you mean, the tithing testimony?" And, you know, I was a tither, but I thought, why me? You know, and so I began to go, you know, okay, I get this. I'm a tither, because my dad had taught me every Sunday to put my quarter in my envelope and check that little box, and choop, there it was every Sunday. So it began to build this discipline in my life. And so as an adult, I did the same thing. Okay, it's my duty. It's what I'm supposed to do. And in the middle of preparing for that, I realized, wow, Monty, you have been missing this. It's not a duty. It's not just something that you do because you've learned that over. No, it's more than that. And God began to teach me. It should be the delight of my heart. It should be the way that I worship Him and put Him first in my life. It's just one of those ways that I can do that. He's not concerned necessarily with the amount. He's concerned with your heart. With your heart. And that's why I love every Sunday to make that a part of my worship. I'm still kind of old-fashioned. I mean, I love to write a check every Sunday morning. It's that time before I come in here that I just reprioritize who's first in my life. A check, guys, is a piece of paper that you can write on there. It's kind of like money, maybe. You don't have to do that. You know, again, it's not how you do it or when you do it or how often you do it. It's where's your heart? And so every week I get to kind of make sure that My God is first. I love it in the Message paraphrase, that same verse, it says, honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. And so since I'm an acrostic dude, you know, I made me an acrostic many years ago with the word first. And, you know, and so I just kind of hold on to that. And, you know, I need to put him first in my finances. I need to put him first in my interest. Everything that I'm excited about, that I'm passionate about, I need to put him first in those things. I need to put him first in my relationships. Every relationship I had, I need to make sure he's first in that relationship. I need to put him first in my serving others and, you know, in my giving my life away to others to make sure I'm doing that for him first. I need to put him first in my time. And so that's why I give him the first of every day and first of every week. And it's not a rule, but it's the delight of my life to give him our first and to give him our best. And a person of honor understands the importance of priority. So whatever you honor, you will prioritize it. But not only that, you will praise it. You ever thought about that? You will praise it. I mean, you just think about our football teams. I mean, come on, Saturday morning in the swamp, 90,000 people spend a lot of money, a lot of time to get there. You will begin to praise it because you honor it. But listen to this. Honor has a language. It has a language attached to it. And it's this language of praise, this language of honoring someone with our words. Our words either give honor or dishonor. When you read the epistles of Paul, he always gives thanks for people around him who are serving God. I love how he honors Epaphroditus in Philippians 2:29. He says this about him. He says, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him. And so today, those of you who have kids that are or students that are being ministered to by someone else, right? Giving their time spiritually to impact your children, your kids. When you see them, you ought to bend over backwards to outdo them in showing them honor for what they are doing for you, coming alongside of you. You need to find out their names and, you know, bring them a gift card or find out their birthdays. Show honor to the ones who serve you over and over and over again. If you have a life group and someone gives up their house week after week after week, you ought to show them honor for that. Worship team. Our worship team, week in, week out, just preparing and to lead us into worship. We ought to show them honor to those who minister to us, just to say thank you and outdo one another in showing honor. And I said last week, you want a great marriage? Right? You outdo each other. You outdo each other. You lift them up. You encourage them. You highly esteem and show value to your spouse. You lift them up and honor them and watch as they grow into what you speak over them in faith. You highly esteem by showing honor and value. And so I just want to do this for a moment. I want to just take some pastor privileges here and do this. I've done this before, but I want to do it again. Something very special to me. I want to honor some people in my life. I want to publicly honor them and embarrass them right in front of you. So the first person, of course, I want to publicly honor and to show honor to is my best friend and the mother of my children, right? So, Kim, I want to publicly honor you and just thank you. And I'm indebted to your faithfulness and to your friendship and to the support that you give me and the way that you serve me and the way that you serve others. And just thank you and I want to honor you for the sacrifice that you make for your God and for others, and just being the most godly woman I know and so in love with God's word and so have a desire to teach his word. And so thank you. Again, I am indebted to your faithfulness, your friendship, your partnership. You are the best thing in my life, and I want to publicly honor you, my wife, my friend, in front of everyone else. So thank you. God bless. Yeah, you clap for her, yeah. Yeah. I want to also honor just our staff. I tell you, you go to a camp, I know this, y'all say, why don't we take everybody to camp? You know, our whole staff goes to the student camp, and we just take everybody, right? And it's just amazing for me. I get to sit back and just watch them. watch them just go above and beyond and giving of their lives and the love that they have for Jesus and just sharing and pouring that into your kids, into your students, into your children. It's amazing to watch that. And so I just want to honor our staff. And you know, the biggest thing they have to do, Kim and the staff, is they have to put up with me. Right? Yeah. You can't hide back there, girl. I see who you are. Where is she at? Yeah. They have to put up with me. But I want to honor them. So special. You don't know how blessed we are. I also want to honor our rock team. That's the group that volunteer, all the volunteers that do anything and everything here at The Rock. And just want to, you know, honor you guys for the way that you week after week, week in, week out, you know, give of yourselves. From teachers and, you know, sound people, that's the way that you give week after week after week. And we kind of just get mad at you when something don't happen. We go, oh, my goodness. You know, and you say, okay, that's okay. And you don't do it for glory because you're hidden up there, right? You guys do it because you love Jesus, right? You love the church. And so I want to just honor everybody that's part of any team here at The Rock. Yeah, give it up for... And I want to honor you as a church. You are the best of the best. Again, your generosity is unbelievable. This church, just the size that we are, the way that you give and give and give and into our different ministries and to the different missions groups that we have opportunity to share into their lives financially and to volunteer in those places. And just thank you for just how great you are and just how generous you are and just how committed you are to your church and to attendance and all that. So I just want to honor you, all of you. So let's everybody clap for everybody right now one time, all right? Thank you for letting me do that. Listen, I'm calling every one of us here at The Rock, here in this room, to live by a different standard. By a different standard. You say, Monty, you don't really know about my family or my parents or my spouse. And maybe that's true, right? They deserve a little criticism to be dishonored, you know. I would encourage you to let God do that stuff, all right? You don't try to repay. Instead, look past offenses and believe the best about them, okay? Just ask God to take that anger or that bitterness or the stuff that's happened in your life, in your relationships, especially with your family in your past, and just kind of put it aside. And you just honor them and think the best of them and ask God to give you enough love to love them even if they don't deserve it. You let God take care of all the other stuff. Let us live by the principles that God is calling us to. And I love Ephesians 4:29. I was sharing it with the students even this week. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And then he says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by doing that. He says, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Listen, our words matter. So we need to get away from criticizing and slandering and gossiping, right? Especially in our homes and our families. And let's begin to be people of honor. I love this story about this husband and wife that were in a little fight, having a little tiff, right? And they were just cutting each other down, you know, trying to outdo each other and cutting each other down. Anybody ever done that? You ever gotten one of those? I can cut you better than me. I can be more sarcastic than you can. Anybody? Raise your hand if you have not. Just kidding. Well, this one couple, they were driving down the road, and it had got so heated, and they came upon this farm with pigs and donkeys, and one of them said, relatives of yours? Right? And the other one said, yes, my in-laws. Right? I love the story of Sarah, the church gossip, you know, self-appointed, sergeant of arms or whatever, arbiter of church morals. We ever, you know, I don't know if you ever known a person like that, sticking her, I should have changed his name to Bill, hurt that name to Bill instead of Sarah's always, well, too bad. Anyway, kept sticking her nose into other people's business, right? Several residents were unappreciative of her activities, but they feared her so much they didn't say anything. They kept silent. But one night she made a mistake. She made a mistake when she accused George, a new member of the church, of being an alcoholic because she saw his pickup sitting out front of the local bar, you know, all afternoon. And she commented to George and others that everyone seeing it there would know what he was doing. So George, a man of few words, stared at her for a few moments and then just walked away. He didn't explain, defend, or deny. He said nothing. But later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup out in front of Sarah's house and left it there all night long. Yeah. That a boy. Listen. James 3 says this, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we also curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praising and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Should not be. Let's change the culture of language to embrace the language of honor. How do we do that? We prioritize it. We, you know, we put it first. We honor God first. We honor people with, you know, with a you first kind of attitude. You honor your day, your week, your year, the first of that. Whatever is first, you honor. Then we're going to praise it, right? Because we understand that everything that comes out of our mouth is either lifting someone up or tearing them down. And we're going to commit. We're going to commit to not being dishonorable in the way that we speak or post or blog or talk about anybody. And finally, whatever you honor, not only do you prioritize it and praise it, but you also protect it. You protect it. When we honor something, we protect it. You know, we had one of our, you know, our kids, like our wallets. We honor our wallets, right? And so we want to protect it. We had one kid that, you know, protected his wallet this week, and it was good. You know, but we want to protect that which we honor, right? Which has value. Whatever is valuable, we guard it with all of our life. And the more you value it, the more you value from it. The story of Noah. Let me just remind you of that. If you never heard, this one was never taught in children's church. Noah, after the flood and the rainbow and all that stuff, he kind of got excited and got drunk one night, and one of his sons saw him in that condition, and his son had a choice to make in that moment. You know, this was a good man that had done wrong, and so, you know, what was going to be the attitude toward it? You know, what was that going to be? And, you know, when sin happens, it needs to be corrected, but how it is corrected determines whether you honor them or not, right? And so that son just comes out laughing and says, "Dad's naked, right? You know, naked as a jaybird, drunk as a skunk," or whatever. And he dishonors his father. The other two sons didn't do that. They honored their father by protecting him in that moment of weakness, covered him with a cloak, and they were blessed. The more you value, the more you value from it. And they defended the honor of their father. And I think sometimes we get this idea that when someone messes up, it's almost a sport to expose it, to expose them in their sin, right? And people of honor, I think, say, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand beside you." Because God's calling us to this culture of honor. And I wonder, what would our homes look like, our friendships, if we protected that which is valuable to us? And the same is true of God. I don't think we defend God enough. We need to defend those we honor. Kim and I were playing racquetball one time, and on the other side, it was outdoor racquetball, and on the other side of the court, somebody else, two guys were playing racquetball, and all of a sudden, they kept getting louder and louder, and they were using the F word, and finally, they began to use GD, and I just couldn't stand it anymore. And I said, "I'm not going to let them talk to that way around my wife. I'm not going to let them talk about my God in that way." And so I just kind of walk around these two big old boys, and I said, "Hey guys, listen. I can't stand that language. I mean, my wife it's offensive to my wife. You know, that I'm playing with on the other side of the court. And plus, you know, I can't stand the way you're talking about my God. I mean, listen, my God doesn't damn. My God, he wants to bless you. He wants to be in relationship with you. If you want to damn somebody, damn the devil, right?" I mean, go ahead. Do all the devil damning you want. But not my God. These big old boys kind of went, whoop, you know, they went back around there, and I don't think they kept playing. They kind of walked away, right? But we need to defend those we honor, especially our God. John 7 says, he who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself, but he who works for the honor of those who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Protecting the honor of our God and the way you live your life defends the honor of the one that saved you. 2 Timothy 2 says it this way, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I love that. I love that. How many of you know baseball? You know, you're baseball fans. Yeah, not too many. Not too many baseball fans. Come on. It's the American pastime. And how many would know what this was if you saw me kind of walk up here and act like I'm going to hit the ball and you kind of, you know, see me point like this? How many would know who that is? Babe Ruth, there we go. We got a little Babe Ruth fan, you know. And you know, that moment to me, he steps up there, points, and the next pitch, it's gone, brother. That's like a holy moment for me. I said, that's the man, right? That's the man. Well, back then, he signed, it said that he signed 7 home run bats that were autographed by Babe himself. And the very last one was lost for decades. Nobody knew where it was. And finally they found it. They traced it down. And what had happened years ago, his agent had given it out at a home run contest where some guy had won it. And it just kind of disappeared. And they didn't know who he was and where he was for years. And he kept this honored possession. And on his deathbed, he had outlived everybody in his family. And so he gave it to his nurse, the woman who had served him, and said, "You are the closest person that I know and I love. And I want to give you my most valuable possession." Well, she didn't know a lot about baseball, but she knew it was pretty special. So for the next 18 years, she kept it in a safe place under her bed in honor of the guy who gave it to her. Came a time after a while where she was trying to start a restaurant business, and so she thought, I wonder how much that bat is worth, if it's worth anything. She took it down to the sports guy, and he took it to another guy. His eyes got really big, and they began to realize that this was one of the 7 autographed Babe Ruth bats. And so it sold in auction in 2006, and it sold for $1.3 million. And so this woman, she opened her restaurant, and she took the rest of the remaining money and started a foundation serving the children that Babe Ruth served at the end of his lifetime. And they asked her, why did you put all that money into a foundation to help others? And she said, the bat was only valuable because Babe Ruth's name was on it. So the only reasonable thing I could do was something that would honor his life because he made it valuable. You think about that. As believers, as you are valuable because of what Jesus did for you. And if you are a believer, his name is written on your heart. And the only reasonable response we have is to do something with our lives to honor him, to give him honor. But sadly, here's what the Bible says. I think it's true of many of us today. In Isaiah 29:13, it says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up of only rules taught by men. And it's the desire of my heart, and I want this so much for us and for really our generation, that we would not be a generation that just gives God lip service, but we'd really honor him with our whole heart, because he is truly the only one worthy of honor and praise and glory. And when you begin to realize that, when you begin to be reminded of who he is and what he did, really the only response is to honor him with our lives. And when you begin to realize just how much he's done in your life, and you have this desire and you're compelled to want to honor him, you also begin to realize just how valuable everyone else is. that they're created in His very image. And so you begin to understand, wow, I need to be honoring them as well. Because they were valuable enough for Jesus to give His life for. And so when we know who He is and we honor Him, then we will reclaim, I think we'll begin to reclaim that forgotten virtue of honor. And we, one by one, can begin to build this culture of honor, this revival of honor, where we lift others up and we give them value. And then this world will become more of what God intended us to be. And again, we will reclaim the virtue of honor. And so over these last few weeks, I've read every verse in the Bible that, or tried to, that has the word honor in it. And I thought, wow, what is one thing, one practice that I could give us as we leave here today? Just one practice that would help us to know how to honor God and others. So that it really becomes who we are forever. And so just look at these verses that I've put here, just some of them. And they just keep pointing us back to one practice, just one. Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor." And then just kind of throw through these. Proverbs 18:12 says, "Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor." Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. A man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. And so I realized that one thing that everyone needs to do every day, if we're going to be a people of honor, is what? Yeah, humility. We need to be humble people. Humility is the key to honor. And so I'm asking every one of us to start every day to start low. Just to start low. To start at a place where everything and everyone is above you. Someone once said, a man on his face never falls from that position. So I'm asking you, fathers, husbands, dads, wives, moms, every one of us, students, I'm asking us to start low every day on our face before our God, to just get low. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Monty? Well, every day, make a choice to say, not my will, God, but your will be done. Every day, start by saying, I'm going to decide today, I'm going to serve somebody today. I'm going to outdo somebody today by honoring them. I'm going to serve them today. Every day, make a choice to say, I'm not going to criticize, but that everything that comes out of my mouth is going to bless people. It's going to encourage them. It's going to lift them up. It's going to be for their benefit. Make a choice. Make a choice every day to do that. Because if you're like me, this will not maintain itself. I have this gravitational pull to be selfish. I don't know about you, but I mean, I can get out of my quiet time, and if I'm not careful, if I haven't started low, if I'm not careful, I mean, first person that gets in my way, boom, I'm drawn to be, you know, it's all about me, you know, why didn't you do this, could you do this, why, you know, can you do this, and I have this gravitational pull to selfishness. And so every day we have to begin to practice this, to make a choice, and say that the first thing each day is humility. I'm going to honor you, God, this day with my life. I'm going to honor the people in my life, my family, my wife, my staff, my government, police, teachers. I'm going to serve them, defend them. I'm going to make the choice every day. How? Humility. And here's what will happen. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor. Listen, church, let's be people of honor. And as we begin to develop this language, this culture, as we begin to allow God to bring this revival of honor into our lives, there will be a blessing from it. And people will see that there's something different about us, but we have to start every day low, with humility, on our faces, and say, oh God, this day, I want to be a person of honor. Let's do that. Pray with me, please. Just close your eyes and in your mind and in your heart, just pray this prayer. One sentence. Just pray, Holy Spirit, right here, right now, right in this place, what are you saying to me? And listen. And the Holy Spirit will put a finger on that area in your life that is without honor. Possessions, spouse, boss, kids. Just say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Some of you are here and you need to make a decision about your relationship with God. Because if you're honest with yourself, you have never humbled yourself before God. Real humility says, God, you take control. I will follow you. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I surrender all to you. God, I want to give you the control of my life, and so I humble myself before you. And when you do that, He will lift you up. He will begin to bless you and change you and transform you to be the person He created you and is calling you to be. Each one of us in here today, will you surrender your life over to the Lord? And just say, Lord, I give my life to you. Use me as a person, a vessel, an instrument of honor. Use me, O God, to be a part of building this, coming back to this culture of honor. Use me, God, to be a part of the revival of honor that you're calling your people, your church, your followers to. God, as we surrender to you, as we give our lives to you, as we humble ourselves before you, oh God, give us the right heart, the right motive. Give us your love. As we step into relationships and to people that even we may disagree with, oh God, but give us the right words. Words that only build each other up. That encourages them, that reminds them that God loves them and has created them to be in relationship with Him. Help us to be people of honor, God, as we honor you with our lives and as we honor others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.